This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء معين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي فالحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم ما بعد Once again everybody, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alright guys, so we are now in the sixth and final section of the surah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَهْلَكَنِيَ اللَّهُ وَمَنْ مَعِيَ Tell them, or say, do you actually perceive, رَأَيْتُمْ in Arabic is not just physically seeing, but also perceiving, thinking. Have you ever pondered or reflected that if Allah were to kill me violently or give me violent death, إِهْلَاك in Arabic is a violent death, as opposed to إِمَاتَ. From maut. Maut is simply death. But halak is a violent death, right? So if Allah were to kill me, and this is the Prophet saying, if Allah were to give me a violent death about himself, وَمَنْ مَعِيَ and along with me, whoever is with me. If he was to kill me and the people along with me. أَوْ رَحِمَنَا or if he was to show us mercy. Incredible words. Instead of saying, if he were to give me a violent death or leave me alive. Yet again, a cross comparison. Instead of saying, kill me or spare me, he said, kill me or show me mercy and love and care. So to Allah, life itself is rahmah. Life itself. And we don't wish for death. We wish for Allah's rahmah. So anybody who has hopes in Allah's rahmah is not hoping that they die soon or something. That's not the way the Muslim thinks. Subhanallah. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Then who is going to rescue or save? The word, interesting vocabulary, يُجِيرُ, أَجَارَ يُجِيرُ, إِجَارَةً comes from جِير, and جَيْر and جِيرَان, which is used for neighbor. And actually, إِجَارَ means of you to be protected in the vicinity you're in. So who is going to give you vicinity? Like, you know, إِجَارَ is literally when a neighbor comes and says, I'll take care of you, come and hide in my basement, or come and stay with me. And that kind of protection is actually called ijara. Okay? So Allah neighbors you when He protects you. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. Protect us with your company from the fire. Right? By being our neighbor. So bring us close to you and away from fire. That's actually ijara. As opposed to qina adab an nar. Protect us. That's just protection raw. But ajirna, ijara is actually to be in the company of someone and protect them. Okay? And that's why you get the word neighbor from it. Al-Jar, Jiran, things like that. Okay? Anyway, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Who is going to protect disbelievers from a painful punishment? A few interesting things to note here is it began with قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ Do you all see? Do you all see? And if the question begins like that, it should end with فَمَنْ يُجِيرُكُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ Do you all see who's going to save you from painful punishment? But it says, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ It actually stops addressing them. This is actually a third degree on top. What do I mean by that? In the beginning, Allah was talking to them directly. Then Allah said, I'm not going to talk to you directly, I'll have my Prophet talk to you. Now, the Prophet is talking to them and halfway through, he's not even talking to them directly. He switches over, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ It's this third degree of separation. Just get lost. Other implications of the use of al-kafirin here is Allah highlights it's not just you're not just being thrown into hell or being thrown into painful punishment because you're you. It's because you're in denial. It's because you're burying the truth inside. So the cause for you being treated this way is not just there's some animosity. It's not personal. If it's simply personal, you don't have to highlight the quality kafirin. The fact that the quality has been highlighted is suggesting that this is the reason for which you are being treated this way. Please understand that the word kafir in the Quran is never used as a generic term or as a soft term. Kafir is a pretty bad word in the Quran. You're not in a good place if you're a kafir. You're not in the good books with Allah. It's not a general, just neutral term for non-Muslims in the Quran. You know, we use it that way. We actually use kafir for any non-Muslim. And that maybe something became coined in Islam, in Muslim civilization and sociology. We kind of just, as convenience, started talking about every non-Muslim as kafir, right? But the Quran doesn't. The Quran is actually very emphatic in how it talks about this particular brand of non-believer, this particular brand. And it has other language for other kinds of non-Muslims, okay? Well, so there's a subtle difference in terminology. Anyway, كَانَ مِنْ بَذَاءَةِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ أَنْ يَجْهَرُوا بِتَمَنِّي هَلَاكِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَهَلَاكِ مَنْ مَعَهُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَقَدْ حَكَى الْقُرْآنُ عَنْهُمْ أَمْ يَقُولُونَ شَاعِرٌ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ. Actually, Allah, the commentary by Ibn Ashur is that this is in response to something that disbelievers were hoping for, even planning for, killing the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and killing the people around him. These people have become too much of a nuisance. I'm far too offended with them. Of course, it's a thug society. It's a gangster society. So if you rub somebody the wrong way, especially their pride, in a society like that one, pride is enough for you to kill somebody, right? So they're ready to kill. And yet the language isn't in taqtuluni. If you people kill me, in qataltumuni, if you were to kill me, or spare me, or kill the people with me, he said, if Allah were to allow a violent death to happen to me, you don't control my life and death, buddy. That's in the hands of Allah. It's actually still defiant. The language is still defiant. They're ready to kill the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah's Messenger is still reminding them through Allah's words, actually life and death doesn't belong to you. And if a violent death shall come to me, it is because Allah allowed it to. أهلكني الله. If that's the way Allah wants me to go. It's not Allah violently killing me, but Allah allowing you to violently kill me is the implication here. Along with the people that I'm with. Or if He were to show us some mercy. فَيُفِيدُ أَنَّ الْحَيَاةَ رَحْمَةً. The other beautiful thing, before we saw, everything Allah created is full of mercy. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. This time, the implication is, life itself is rahmah from Allah. Life itself is an act of love and care from Allah. وَأَنَّ تَأْخِيرَ الْأَجَلِ مِنَ النِّعْمِ. And actually having a prolonged life is one of the extensions of Allah's mercy. The Prophet ﷺ compared dying violently versus being spared or remaining alive with being shown love and mercy. Okay? إِنَّمَا سَمَّ الْحَيَاةَ رَحْمَةً لَهُ وَلِمَنْ مَعَهُ لِأَنَّ فِي حَيَاتِهِ نِعْمَةً لَهُ وَلِلنَّاسِ مَا دَامَ اللَّهُ مُقَدِّرًا حَيَاتَهُ وَحَيَاةُ الْمُؤْمِنِ رَحْمَةً لِأَنَّهُ تَكْثُرُ لَهُ فِيهَا بَرَكَةُ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ. What a beautiful thing to say. For a believer, a longer life is actually more chances to sow the seeds of a better afterlife. So having a longer life just means you have more time to do more good. So it is a mercy from Allah. It is something we should hope for if we are going to continue to stay on this right path. So our hope isn't we die quickly. Our hope is not in when we die. Our hope is in how we die. تَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ. Take us away in the company of the righteous. You know? أَدْخِلْنَا فِي الصَّالِحِينَ. Enter us in the company of the righteous. That's it. Other than that, we don't wish for it. You know, that's not something we hope for. Then, of course, فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ. What's the point of this ayah? The Prophet is saying, look, whether you kill me or not, your problem's not going away. If Allah was to kill me and people with me, who's going to save disbelievers? The entire argument is not whether or not how much I've offended you. You can shut me up, that won't change reality. Allah is talking, the Messenger is talking about a reality. And it won't disappear just because the message disappears. It's as silly as thinking the meteorologist says, There's a thunderstorm coming this way. There's a tornado watch. Let's kill him. Or let's turn the TV off. Ah, finally we're safe. Stupid! He's just telling you that it's coming. He doesn't control what's coming. Whether he's there or not, it's still coming. You should be grateful that he at least was sent to tell you. فَمَنْ يُجِيرُ الْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. And then, okay, fine. You know what? You guys do what you're going to do. Whether we warn you or not, whether you kill us or not, looks like you're not going to listen. By the way, when someone's come to the point where they're ready to kill, then clearly they're not interested in conversation anymore. So just tell them, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَانُ. He is the incredibly loving, caring, and merciful one. The fact that he didn't just kill you because you were thinking about killing his messenger is enough of an indication that he spares. And we believe in him. أَمَنَّا بِهِ. We believe in him. وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. And in him alone we have relied. Notice آمَنَّا بِهِ. It's not بِهِ آمَنَّا وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا. The جار مجرور are not مقدم both times. One of them is after, one of them is before. Let me tell you what that means in simple English. We believe in him. And as a result of believing in him, we believe in his promise. We believe in his messenger. We believe in all of what he's come with. We believe in his warnings. It's not limited to just believing in him. And everything that he has given us to believe in is itself a mercy from him. So the fact that this surah is dominated by meanings of hell, like descriptions of hell and warnings to disbelievers and the destruction of people by the earth swallowing them or the sky ripping them apart and things like that, doesn't take away the fact that even those warnings are coming from Ar-Rahman. So that needs to be reconciled by the end. Ar-Rahman kept coming up in the surah, didn't it? Over and over and over. Why would that be the case? Why would he keep mentioning Ar-Rahman in a surah that's dominated by punishment? He would mention this. This is an act of loving care and mercy. Do you know that the Jewish sacred text, the Old Testament and the New Testament, actually not the Jewish text, but the New Testament also, have virtually no description of hellfire? Completely gone. Completely gone. There's not a single ayah about the fire. Not one. Not one about judgment day. Nothing. Now there's only two possibilities. One possibility is it was never there. It was never there. Except, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You prefer worldly life. Next life is better and lasts longer. إِنَّ هَذَا لَفِي الصُّحُفِ الْأُولَى صُحُفِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَمُوسَى. The scriptures of Abraham and Moses contained that the next life is better. And it would certainly contain why it's better. And it's always been there, except it's not there anymore. It's just not there. You can't find it. Actually, in some secondary Jewish texts that aren't even considered sacred, there are descriptions of hell and heaven very similar to the Quran. But they're not considered part of the Torah. It's removed from the Torah entirely. It's incredible what they've done. I'm amazed at how much you can clean out the Akhirah. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ. Each one of them wishes to live 1,000 years and they can't get away from that punishment even if they were given that much years. They tried to get away from the punishment so much they removed the punishment. And they're actually similar to, if we don't hear about it, it ain't going to happen. It just won't happen. My God, what an amazing erasing that has been done across the old scripture. It's mind-boggling. And they say, well, we want to believe in a merciful God. We don't want to believe in a God that has hell. And that's what the Christian comes and tells you. Your book's got a lot of hell. What kind of merciful God is that? You know? Hellfire, it's going to cook people, it's going to burn them, boiling water. There's a lot going on there. You know? And I say, okay, here's what we believe about our master, Allah, about Ar-Rahman. We're living in this life, he created this life, and by the way, he's our master first. He's our master first, which means he has the ultimate authority. فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. He does what he wants. And he creates reality. I didn't decide that the sky should be the color it is, or the earth should be the texture that it is. He made it the way it is. And I didn't decide that I should have 5 fingers or the faculties that I have. He has a plan for what he makes. And وَهُوَ الْخَلَّاقُ الْعَلِيمُ. He's the one who creates over and over again and he knows what he's doing. So he's the one who created heaven and hell. Done. He also created the system by which you will, what will be determined by whether one is going to end up in heaven and one is going to end up in hell. Now, you guys and I, imagine we're in this room represents this life. There's a door that way. There's a door this way. One door, open it, it's hell. The other door, open it, it's what? It's heaven. But those doors are closed. Both of those doors are closed. And there's not even a window. So I don't know what's on this side, I don't know what's on that side. I only see what's in here. What did Allah do with our scripture? He made sure he describes what's on the other side over there and what's on the other side over there so well that you can see it. Without ever opening those doors. He, with his words, he showed me what is on both sides. Look, whether you want to accept reality or not, that is reality. It is a mercy of Allah that he painted the picture of hell as graphically and as disturbingly as he did, because if he didn't, would I have taken it seriously? No. And if I take it seriously or not, it doesn't change the fact that it's still there. He already made it. It's already part of the plan. You're already either going to go in it or get away from it. I'd rather know about it than not. You're mad at Allah for creating it or telling you about it? You should be grateful to Allah. It's an incredible act of mercy that He told you about the consequences of hell. And by the way, what happens to a people that believe, like our Christian friends, a people who believe, who lose sense of the seriousness of hell because it's not mentioned the way it should be? It becomes a joke. It becomes heavy metal. It becomes Highway to Hell. It becomes skulls with flames on them. It becomes cartoons. It becomes movies like Hellboy. It becomes, you know, a literature in which you can dive into the depths of hell and come back out of it. It can become heavy metal parties with fire surrounding you and people wearing devil horns and tails and holding a fork. It's all a joke to them. It's just a joke. It's just a party. That's all it is. You know? It's not taken seriously at all. We don't joke about hell. Muslims don't joke about hell. No way. No way. We don't use the word Jahannam in a joke. We just don't do it. They do. We don't have the expression, what the hell are you talking about? Ma hadhihi Jahannam? Ma hadhihi nar? Al-hariq? We don't say that. We don't even throw that, we don't do it. Because it's not funny to us. And it's not a casual thing for us to talk about. Allah removed that from the equation. Why? Because to us it's way too real. It is way too real. And whether they believe in its reality or not. And they actually do believe in hell. They're just bothered that our religion talks about it. You know? I would say that is an ultimate mercy of Allah. I would rather hear about it and cry now than even get to see it a little bit. I would rather read سَمِعُوا لَهَا شَهِيقًا than actually hear the shahiq. You know, I'd rather not. I'm reminded there was a fellow, God, I forgot his name. When I was in 1835, when I was in the MSA, he used to be a guy. He used to come and do MSA programs, right? And he used to do a halaqa called Remembering the Hellfire. Remembering the Hellfire. And he'd come into the MSA room, he'd turn all the lights off. Okay, no windows, all the lights are off. And he had this, I'm dating myself, but a tape player, a boombox. With, you know, D batteries. Okay? And he'd put this tape in and play it, and it's a tape of loud animal sounds, screams, explosions, that crazy stuff. And just people screaming in pain, and please stop. And it went on for 35 minutes. Lights are off. And you're hearing this disturbing thing for 35 minutes. And I hit stop, turn lights on, Jazakallahu khairan. That is not how Allah taught us, alhamdulillah. It's not how Allah taught us. Huh? Yeah, it's a pretty epic experience. So, we used to make stupid jokes about it, like, you know, like, it was better than the lecture. This is stupid. Anyway, some people just don't learn, you know? So anyway, قُلْ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ آمَنَّ بِهِ He's the incredibly, and He's the one who would give us death. He would never do so because He's Ar-Rahman. By the way, in the previous ayah, أَوْ رَحِمَنَا. Either He would give us violent death or give us mercy. By the way, He's exceedingly merciful, so He won't give us that death. It ain't gonna happen. You're not going to be able to kill us. Because He's Ar-Rahman. And because we're on His side. How are we on His side? Amanna bihi. How do you become loyal to this king? Alladhi biyadihi al-mulk. How do you become loyal to Him? By believing in Him. And if you believe in Him, then He will take care of you. You can just rely that He's going to take it. Wa alayhi tawakkalna. Exclusively on Him, we have put all of our trust. We don't need to worry about what you're going to do. Because that's not up to you, that's up to Him. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا It is actually not just a statement of faith. It's a statement of defiance against the Quraysh. Do what you want. Do what you want. Kidun. Make your plans. go ahead. فإن كان لكم كيدون فكيدون. If you got a scheme to make and kill, go ahead. We'll see. فكيف كان نكيري. How was my scheme against you? Let's just see. Then فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين. Soon you will see who is obviously in clear, open misguidance. And obviously misguided. Immersed in misguidance. By the way, dalal came before dalal in kabir. But this is actually a contrast of one kind of mubin and the other kind of mubin. Innama ana nadhirun mubin. And now, فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Right? I'm clearly warning you, and you're clearly misguided. That's the contrast that's happening here. And when you don't take advantage of the clear warnings, then clearly you are misguided. That's the contrast that's drawn here. The other thing that's interesting about this ayah is, he is Ar-Rahman, and we've believed in him, and we've relied on him, which means Allah's mercy, and his care, and his love is going to envelop us, and you're just missing out. Every time the name is used, it's an invitation. Every time, no matter how defiant you've been before, you're being invited to make your way back. And the final ayah of the surah is, قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا. Tell them, if you were to think about this, did you consider that if your water was to be absorbed, in أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا, if your water all of a sudden became completely absorbed, you know, غَوْر in Arabic, قَعْرَهُ. غور كل شيء قعره وغار الماء غورا ذهب في الأرض وسفل فيها ونضب. When something goes into the earth and it goes deep inside, the water just sinks into the earth and you can't get it out no matter how deep you dig, and it just completely disappears into the earth. What water? What's their water? ماؤكم. What's the water of Quraysh? Zamzam. Remember before Allah said, "I might stop your rizq from the sky," in أمسكَ رزقَهُ, which is the rain. Fine, we at least have Zamzam. No, I'll take Zamzam away too. Then what happens? إِنْ أَصْبَحَ مَاءُكُمْ غَوْرًا فَمَنْ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِمَاءٍ مَعِينٍ. Then who will bring to you water, and that water has the quality of being ma'in. Now ma'in is looked at in two ways. قُلْ هُوَ مِنْ مَعَنْ أَيْ كَثُرَ فَهُوَ عَلَى فَعِيلٍ. Who will bring you plenty of water? The fact that your water is there and it's enough for you to survive in the middle of a blazing desert is itself a miracle from Allah. The fact that Zamzam is enough for you to survive. Okay, that's the only water supply they have in all of Mecca. And without it, the Mecca doesn't exist. It can't exist. And so the fact that it's plentiful is captured inside the word ma'in. And then Ali ibn Abbas, he actually says fresh water, ma'in adhb. Now this is the meaning of ma'in. The other is, you know, in Arabic, when you say aana, and aain and ma'un on ma'in and ma'yun, ma'yun becomes ma'in. This is li tasheel al kalam, li tasheel al adat. So tara'i zahirin tarahu al uyun. Water that can be seen with the eyes, water that's pleasing to the eyes. Who's going to bring you water that's going to give relief to your eyes? This is the conclusion of this surah, and I want to start, inshallah ta'ala, with just showing you what's happened in this passage. It's only made up of three ayat. And these three ayat make up a perfect symmetrical structure. In the first of these ayat, Allah said, what do you think if Allah kills me and those who believe with me? That's not going to change that punishment is coming your way. But which kind of punishment? Adabun alim. That's the punishment in the next life. And in the last ayat of the surah, skip one at the last, you don't have to wait for adabun alim. Allah could bring punishment to you right now by doing what? Getting rid of water for you. Getting rid of the water. And the only way you can spare yourself from the punishment above and the punishment below is to join us, which is amanna bihi wa alayhi tawakkalna, right in the middle. So death above and death below and survival in the middle. Right? This is how the last three ayat are structured. I'll tell you something interesting about the structure of the surah. There's a famous orientalist, she's pretty good Quranic scholar, she's non-Muslim, Angelica Norwick. She talks about the structure of surahs in the Quran. And because they look at the Quran as, let's see, how can I describe this to you? They look at the Quran as literature. They don't look at it as divinely revealed, right? And so that when they analyze it and they also critique it, they critique it as literature. Because when you critique literature, you say the things you appreciate and you say the things that could have been better. So she actually argued while writing a critique of the surah. So she wrote so many beautiful insights about the surah. But being an Orientalist, she wrote a critique and she said, perhaps the last verse of this surah should have been, آمَنَّا بِهِ وَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ مَنْ هُوَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. That would have been a more appropriate ending. Look, at the end of the day, he's Ar-Rahman, we believe in him, and we have only put our trust in him. You will know who is clearly misguided, because it's an awkward ending that the surah ended with just water will be taken away. It's kind of like this subset of an argument, so it doesn't seem like it's a good conclusion to the surah. From a literary point of view, that was her point. Interestingly enough, this conclusion is the best suited, again from a literary point of view, not even from a faith point of view, from a literary point of view, if you go back to the beginning of the surah. Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. Above and beyond expectation, and the constant, is the one who has all kingdom in his hand. A king is known by his castle, or his throne. And his throne rests upon water. عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And by the end of it, if the king doesn't give you from his kingdom, what does he not give you? Water. Where are you going to get it from? The only place you get water from is the king, is the one who has al-mulk, you know. His arsh rests upon water. So it's actually, and by the way, water throughout the Quran is one of the most dominant expressions of Allah's kingdom. That's why nahnu is used most commonly with water. Anzalna, anzalna, anzalna alayhi al-ma. It'll be, the rest of the ayah will be singular, and all of a sudden the royal we will get used when water is talked about. He'll switch over to it, right? So it's actually, it begins with Allah's divine majesty, and the surah concludes also with Allah's divine majesty. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bil ayat wa dhikr al-Hakim.